Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with spring break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like Fan Fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge. New players start playing with just $5 and get 100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code COLLEGEDRAFT to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft Podcast presented by DraftKings. What a day to be going over the championship game. Certainly a lot of time we'll spend on the FBS championship game last night and the top prospects in that one, as well as the FCS championship game, which was disappointing from a competitive standpoint, that I called on Saturday. We've got more all-star games this week, and no one has a greater breadth or depth of knowledge than our guy, Emory Hunt, the czar of the telestrator. No, the czar of the what?
Playbook. Anyway.
The czar of the playbook. Check him out on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. I am at Ross Tucker NFL. All of our shows can be found at Ross Tucker Pod. He's also Football Game Plan on YouTube. We are youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. If you want to check us out on YouTube, you can always watch this show, which I encourage you to do. And if you haven't ordered the draft guide yet? I mean, what are we even doing? FootballGamePlan.com/2022draft guide. It is the best of its kind. How many pages was it last year, Emory?
I would say over 600 something pages. Like, matter of fact, 728 to be exact.
Yeah, so the only thing I don't like about Emory is I like to think that I love football more than anybody else. Emory tests that. Like, Emory tests that. When I see how big his guide is and he all the things that Emory does and the high school games he drives to, Emory might have me be – I should have never even brought Emory on this show because now I can't be – I can't plead the fifth. All right, so Emory, I am so pumped up for today. The FBS recap, the FCS recap – and then getting into some of these all-star games. There's a lot to talk about from the FBS game last night. Obviously, Georgia took down Alabama. I want to get into the prospects, but I also just want to talk about the game a little bit with you and sort of give you a blank canvas just to give me, before I get into specific questions, just what are some of the things that stood out to you about last night's game?
I loved how competitive the game was, number one. But I also loved the fact that we saw many strength versus strength battles take place and became a stalemate, O-line, D-line on both sides, right? Then we saw run game linebackers on both sides. Georgia had a slight edge in the running back department. They had some matchups that they were able to win in that regard. Wide receiver, secondary, that was the biggest matchup out on the perimeter. They were weaker in the secondary. Georgia was. Alabama was weak in that wide receiver, so it kind of stalemated. On the other side, we saw the receivers for Georgia sort of have some success until, you know, late in the game they did, more so than in the beginning part of the game, outside of the great catch by George Pickens. So it really came down to which quarterback can make the plays to keep their team afloat and also help their team win. And Stetson Bennett made just a few more plays than the Heisman Trophy winner Bryce Young. So I thought it was an even game across the board, which really came down from a matchup perspective, and it really came down to which quarterback can make the plays. And we saw Stetson Bennett make a couple of key ones, including a big throw deep down the field for a touchdown.
Yeah, man, I got a lot of thoughts. And tell me if you agree, disagree. I think it's rare to see a team that I believe clearly had more players and more physical ability than Alabama. I mean, it, you know, second half, the fourth quarter, the O-line for Georgia, they were like out Bama-ing Bama. Like that offensive line for Georgia was starting to get after it. And Georgia's front seven was just better. Like Georgia's safeties, like Seen, I love that dude. I absolutely love that dude. But Alabama always has a guy like him. You know, like Minkah Fitzpatrick or somebody like that. It seemed like Georgia to me was more like Alabama than Alabama was. Usually Alabama has like the better roster, but the team they're playing might have a quarterback that's playing really well or whatever, and that's how they got there. I thought it was the opposite. I thought Georgia had more, whatever you want to call them, monsters, dudes, freak shows. Even just the acceleration of their linebackers, their guys in the secondary, it looked like Reuben Foster looked at Alabama. I'm telling you, now Alabama still has some guys, but I don't think quite as many. I thought, for most of the game, I thought Bryce Young was a difference in the game and why Alabama was ahead. I thought he was playing better than Bennett probably for the most part through the first half, maybe three quarters. I thought Bama got certainly the better of the officiating. I don't think there's any question that they got a number of breaks to go their way. I mean, like just – I wrote down a couple of them. I thought Bryce Young, if he didn't fumble early in the game with Jordan Davis, I thought that was intentional grounding then. The kick catch interference, I didn't agree with. The illegal hands to the ear hole, I've never even heard of on 54. And then they even had, the Stetson Bennett, I thought that was an incomplete pass. I mean, he had possession of the ball. He was going forward. So whatever. It doesn't matter. Ultimately, Georgia won anyway. I thought Bama was a little bit better coached. It felt like for most of the game, they were kind of one step ahead of Georgia, whether it was blitz pickup or getting the ball out quick. But ultimately, Georgia's talent and perseverance sort of was able to overcome Bryce Young, the coaching, and the officiating. That was kind of my 30,000-foot level.
Really. It's interesting. I agree with you on a lot what you said, especially within the first quarter. We started to see Stetson Bennett piss down his leg. We started to see Kirby probably panic a little bit. You had to delay a game in there. They didn't take the time out. And, you know, so you start to see, oh, my God, there's Bam on the other side. That started to happen. And then they finally found their footing. And in terms of the dudes, it just, like, to your point, it just looked like, let's say up front, it looked like Georgia was the more explosive offensive line. On the defensive side, it looked like all of their three big dudes up front were just a bit more explosive than the Alabama big dudes on their defensive line. It seemed like the only guy we kept talking about was Will Anderson for Alabama yesterday. But for Georgia, we were talking about, you know, Tindall. We were talking about Dean. And then we were talking about Seen coming flying up in the alley in run support, you know, harkening the days of Greg Blue when he was back there patrolling that safety position and flying up, you know, in the alley and blowing dudes' numbers off the back of their jerseys. You know, that defense just had a bit more dudes. Now, their secondary, and I tweeted this out during the game, I felt like Alabama receivers, albeit their third-string receivers, were running free all day long. They had opportunities. And Bryce Young, to his credit, I don't know how he was getting some of these footballs in there, was putting the ball where it needed to be, but guys were just dropping it, or it may have been just a step out of place for the receiver to adjust for, but the ball was where it needed to be, and the matchup was there for Alabama's taking. The difference was Alabama had no James Cook. They didn't have someone that could, you know, go sidecar with Robinson. When we saw Zamir White and also James Cook, White started turning on late in the game. He's their closer. If you told me Zamir White was a boxer, I believe you. You know, he just looks like a boxer, right? But they also had James Cook, whose explosive run was a difference. Alabama doesn't have that explosiveness in the backfield, which is why you saw the guy Gibbs from Georgia Tech transfer to Alabama. He's going to be that guy for them next year. And so I just thought, to your point, they really did have a few more game breakers than Alabama did. And you hope Jameson Williams is healthy. You hope it's not as serious. But judging by the audio that they were able to catch last night, it sounds like it might be an ACL for him, which sucks because it's a late ACL. But with the way modern medicine is, I mean, hell, we just watched George Pickens tear his ACL in the spring and was out there making spectacular plays for this football team. So George had a better tight end. That's a game breaker. They had Burton is a game breaker at receiver and also Pickens. So you're right. Georgia had more dudes this time. And this is the Georgia that we expected to see in the SEC title game. So when you look back at that game, you're like, yo, what the hell happened in that matchup that Georgia looked that bad against that Alabama team? But yeah, a few of their receivers are out. Their cornerback was out, Alabama's in this game. So I get it, but man, this is the Georgia team that we expected to see all year long.
Yeah. So many things I want to comment on there. I will say this about Will Anderson. He's hired. Yeah. I'm going to LinkedIn Jobs right now to reach my network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 770 million people. I know college kids are on LinkedIn. If Will Anderson is on LinkedIn, that guy is hired. I didn't even realize that he is from Georgia. He's from Duluth, Georgia. That's unbelievable. With LinkedIn Jobs, Emory, you can focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience and use screening questions to get your role in front of only the most qualified. Then you quickly filter and prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. There's a reason why small businesses like ours rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week, nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/draft. That's linkedin.com/draft to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So let's start with the Jameson Williams thing, because it kind of ties in to Will Anderson. You know, I saw where Dr. Chow on Twitter, and I retweeted him, at Ross Tucker NFL, thinks that Jameson Williams tore his ACL and MCL, which makes it significantly worse when you get them both, is my understanding. And it definitely had an impact on the game. But I got to tell you, Emory, I tweeted this last night at Ross Tucker NFL, and a lot of people got upset about it, I guess, or just it bothers them because they're just college football fans. They just want to see these kids play. But I think college football's opt-out problem is about to become a lot worse. You know, you see a guy like that tear his ACL and MCL in the national championship game. If he doesn't go in the first round, they'll have even more issues. The reality is, though, he's going to go lower than he normally would. And he just cost himself – I want to rephrase that. He just lost – not cost himself. He just lost millions of dollars. Even if he's the 22nd pick instead of the 16th pick, that's millions of dollars. And so I got to wonder, Emery, if we're going to see guys opt out of playoff games. Everybody's like, dude, it's a national championship. It's a national championship game. I wasn't talking about necessarily opting out of the national championship game. Although I do wonder if there will be guys opt out of playoff games. And certainly the other bowl games, this is only going to reinforce the decision that a lot of young men made to not play in those.
Yeah, think about it, Ross. We were talking the last show whether or not a guy like Christian Watson for North Dakota State was going to play in the championship game because, again, he hadn't been healthy. He hadn't played in all of the playoff games. And he has the All-Star Game circuits, you know, coming up, like Senior Bowl, Shrine Game. I think Senior Bowl he's going to go to. So you hadn't played all playoffs. Do you run the risk? And we saw what that field looked like for the FCS Championship game. Do you run the risk and play in this game and risk injury? Or do you save yourself, continue to get healthy, and be at your healthiest for your All-Star Game circuit where you got to interview and all that stuff like that? So I agree with you. And people, I think we can easily trace back this whole opt-out thing to Jalen Smith getting hurt in the Fiesta Bowl,
Ohio State.
Once that happened, then you started to see everybody else think differently. Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey. It made more sense because, like, man, and to be completely honest, Jalen Smith was never the same.
Correct.
Never the same. Correct. You know,
even people don't point that out. He did get a good second contract, but that guy was electric, and now he's out of the league. I don't know. I think maybe the Giants signed him for the last game, which says something.
Right. Everything that we liked about Jalen Smith as a prospect going into that game, we never saw that player ever again. Even and this is before that, the Willis McGahee injury in the Fiesta Bowl against Ohio State. Quiet as kept, McGahee was never the same explosiveness-wise after that injury.
Yep.
And so when people look at that, if you're those type of players, man, it'll be hard to really say, is it worth it? You know what I'm saying? To play. That's a hard decision. Because, again, Jameson Williams, we don't know what the ramifications are post this injury. Let's look at a guy last year in Jalen Waddle. He still walks with a limp. A noticeable limp, and he went in that game, that championship game last year against Ohio State, still not fully healthy, and was limping severely in that game. How much of his raw explosiveness did he lose by playing hurt or getting hurt on that, you know, benign punt return, right? So I think it's going to, like you said, I also feel as though it's going to get bigger, and from a player's perspective, it just makes so much sense to not play if you are that highly valued, especially when speed and explosiveness is your forte.
Emery, I got to be honest with you. If Will Anderson was my brother or my son, I would really, I mean, he should be the number one pick in the draft this year. I would have a really tough time having him go out there for 14 football games next year. It's like there's a $38 million pot of gold, $40 million next year at the end of the rainbow. That's his to have, but he's got to like go through these 14 minefields, let alone practice to get there. I might be doing a Jamar Chase or a Micah Parsons if I were Will Anderson next year.
Yeah, because think about it. Alabama is not going to be garbage next year. They're playing 14 games. You know, it's not like they're going to play 10 and the season is over with. No, you're going to play 14 games, and they're going to be 14 meaningful games. So you're right. He has, unless he tries. But again, you can't have it either way, because if you, okay, well, I won't play in the non-conference slate. Okay, fine, but that's all in the beginning of the season. If it was at the end of the season, then, all right, well, I'll play these first four games, and then I'll sit out the non-conference slate, or I'll pick and choose my games to sit out. But what sense does that make? Because you still run the risk of getting hurt anyway. You can get hurt doing anything. And so I agree, when you're that talented, or you have the you run, if you do play, you run the risk of what the discussion is about Kayvon Thibodeaux now. Cause now he goes from Kayvon Thibodeaux is a clear cut number one to Aiden Hutchinson should be number one. Well, we don't know if Kayvon Thibodeaux was kind of Cadillacing this year, right? Trying not to get hurt. And that's a legitimate thing that players that are we saw this with Jadeveon Clowney. And we saw this with, you know, a guy like Kayvon Thibodeaux this year. Like, man, I don't want to, I'm going to play well, but any little nick or bruise, I am not playing because I don't want to run the risk of injuring myself. So I agree with you, man. If you are Will Anderson, you have, especially with the way that the young freshman was balling. Okay, we're in good hands. I can step aside. This dude is ready to play. You know, see y'all in the NFL.
It's yeah, man. It's a very interesting situation. The last thing I wanted to talk about, for sure about this game, I want to give you kudos. About a month ago, you said you thought maybe over a month Stetson Bennett should get some Heisman love. One of my biggest frustrations is how much entry point frames how we view players. Jalen Hurts is still fighting that, where if he had been a top 10 pick, all anybody would do is talk about how good Jalen Hurts is. Davis Mills is fighting that. If he had been one of the top 10 picks, people would be saying, Davis Mills is the guy in Houston for years. Stetson Bennett, you know, his name's Stetson Bennett the fourth, okay? And he's a walk-on, all that stuff. No matter how well he plays, there's always people that are skeptical because of his entry point. It's bogus. It bothers me, Emery.
It bothers me too, man, because if you can play, you can play. I don't care how you got here. If you're balling, get on the field. And people last night, I was going to tweet, but I didn't feel like, you know, going back forward with all kind of Twitter mentions. But people were like, oh, why? Why don't you put JT Daniels in so he can get sacked every play? That's the difference between JT Daniels and Stetson Bennett. Bennett is athletic. He can get out the way. That's why Bennett is playing. It's not because he's taller, has a stronger arm, and quietly, Bennett's arm is not weak.
No.
He could drive that football down the field consistently, and he has a little bit more confidence. So I'm like, I don't care how you got here. That's why, for me, when the coaches were like, let's say when Dabo and those guys won that bowl game they were in, and they're like, oh, we're playing without, you know, 30 scholarships. Like, bro, that is just because you're without 30 scholarship players, I know your walk-ons are not garbage. Like, you recruit those walk-ons. You got guys that's probably chomping at the bit to play. Ohio State went out there with 24 less scholarships, basically an FCS roster from a scholarship perspective, and took it to Utah. So, you know, if guys can play, your entry point doesn't matter. Are we talking about how when we were watching, you know, the NFL on Sundays and Matt Castle was happening, are we caring about his entry point into the NFL? No. He's out there playing well. That's your guy. If you are Stetson Bennett, as long as he's out there playing well, leave him out there. And it wasn't because of the run game or the defense. Well, the defense did play a significant role, but you had to make plays on offense, and Stetson Bennett is a big reason why you are in this game anyway. So ride with the guy, and people will – again, people talked about all the five stars that they have on the sideline. Well, what does that say about Stetson Bennett if they're still on the sideline? Don't people think about that? Like, if he's out there and there's all these superstars on the sideline, these superstar quarterbacks, well, what this is about Stetson Bennett?
Well, it's convenient to always have the crutch of where a guy was drafted or where a guy was rated or what their physical testing numbers are. That's not the convenience I'm into. I'm in the convenience of AutoZone, where you can get free same-day store pickup, which is amazing. Look, the last thing people like Emery and I can do is wait in line for 20 minutes to ask somebody about a part or something. No. Not during football season, that's for sure. Or you can just order it with free next day delivery, and they just bring it to you, which I'm pretty sure is what Emery does because he didn't have time to go to the store. He does the free next day delivery. Every car is different, and that means every car job is too. That's why AutoZone offers you more ways to shop your way. So next time you're starting a job, start it by shopping your way at AutoZone.com with their free same-day pickup and free next-day delivery. Get in the zone, AutoZone. All right, Emery, let's touch on the FCS a little bit. I was there, obviously. Disappointing game in that it wasn't competitive. I will say this. I was impressed by several of the North Dakota State prospects. Watson looked healthy and made several plays. That's unbelievable to me that a kid from Tampa somehow went North Dakota State. 6'5", 210, and he runs well, Emery.
Yeah, and that's someone there's been a pipeline from Tampa to North Dakota State. They had a couple of corners. Marcus Williams, I believe, was one of them. They ended up playing a long time with the Houston Texans and New Orleans Saints. It was an interception machine. He was at the East-West Shrine Bowl that year I was down there. I want to say it was 2014 or 15. He was balling out that way. You had this safety that was out there. I think he's now in the CFL. I can't remember his name, but he was from Tampa. So they've had and one of the running backs too was from Tampa. So they had a lot. They had a pipeline. It's like how New Orleans used to have that pipeline to the University of Colorado in the late 80s, early 90s, and then they had the pipeline to Nebraska before. And I tweeted this yesterday before. Once Kevin Falk signed with LSU, that pipeline was shut off, and all the top talent went to LSU. Because think about it, Peyton Manning was going out, Marshall Falk was going out, Reggie Wayne was going out. Once Falk signed, whoop, fence around the state. And so North Dakota State has been able to get their speed and athleticism from speed and athleticism areas and been able to build their foundation, their point of attack play from point of attack foundation areas, Minnesota, Dakota. So it has worked out perfectly. And for Watson, the fact that he's 6'5", 210, and runs like a deer, but also returns kicks and punts, that speaks of his footwork. And they have him lined up in the backfield at times, too. That speaks of his versatility. It's ridiculous how talented and athletic that dude is.
Yeah, their offensive line was awesome. The other thing I would say, I think Lipke will be a pretty good prospect next year. You know, he can play fullback. He can play tailback. He can play tight end. You know, I had him on the show in the offseason, he being Kyle Juszczyk, and we kind of joked about how every year there's like five next Kyle Juszczyks, which is like, come on, man. Like, he's a pretty good athlete. He's pretty good. I will say this. Lipke has a lot of Juszczyk traits to him, and I wouldn't be surprised if somebody looks at him in that role, but he's only a junior.
Yeah, and you saw, I love the touchdown run he had where it was a clear – lane to the end zone, but now I got to make this point and run this dude over before I get in the end zone. I thought that was awesome.
Did you see his nickname, Emery? His nickname is the Majestic Beast, which is just incredible. I'll say this too. For Montana State, I thought Troy Anderson was fine. I could see what people are excited about in terms of the size and athleticism. He needs to work on getting off blocks.
Yeah.
He doesn't see things great yet. He doesn't have great – he's not great at defeating blocks. I thought he was a little disappointing. I will say this, though, Emery. How about that running back from Montana State? That dude runs hard. I like him. He'll be back next year, too.
Yeah, Isaiah Fonte. That was the big piece for their offense going into this game. Hey, will Afonso be healthy enough to go? He was. He saw how much of a difference he made. And I tweeted this out as soon as it happened. Man, what a difference Tommy Mellott made in that game. Because that first drive, they were slowly mowing down North Dakota State. And then he gets out, and all of a sudden, North Dakota State just like, oh, there's no threat. We're about to just full-fledged pressure, and game was over. And it sucked because that game probably would have been a back-and-forth high-scoring one if Tommy Mellott was playing, because of the combination of his running ability along with Afonso, that's what made them very tough to beat in the playoffs. That's why they beat the brakes off Sam Houston. That's why they was really mowing down opponents in the playoffs to get to this game.
Yeah, that was a major, major bummer. Two more quick things. Number one, overcoming the odds, rewriting the playbook, delivering under pressure. The MVPs of small business lead their teams to victory all year long. Visa is proud to provide playmakers everywhere with more tools to help grow their business and help them achieve even greater success. Because the more people we can empower, the more we all win. Visa, a network working for everyone. Are there all-star games this week, Emery, or are they next week? What's the breakdown?
There are three this week. One is that's going to be ending today on Tuesday as we talk about this on Tuesday. One that's starting, two that's starting, and one that will start that runs into next week. So you got the College Gridiron Showcase that's ending on Wednesday. They don't have a game; they have a scrimmage, which is great. You have the Hula Bowl starting on today, and it runs until Saturday. That game is on CBS Sports Network. Friday, Thursday, you have the Tropical Bowl that's starting, and they practice 2 days, and then their game is on Saturday as well. And I think Friday down in Salem, Virginia, you have the Dream Bowl, which is starting. Which is another smaller all-star game. Their game ends on the 17th, Martin Luther King Day. But the Tropical Bowl and Hula Bowl would have been ideal. I'm so upset I'm not able to get down there this week because they're both in Orlando. So I would have been able to do one practice was in the morning and one was in the afternoon, late afternoon. So it would have been perfect for me. But
well, here's what I want to do. Next week, in addition to starting to preview the Senior Bowl and the Shrine Game, we can recap who the studs were from these other three bowl games this week. You know, what you heard, what you saw. I don't know if you get a chance to watch the tape or the practices or whatever, but we can do that next week. Awesome, awesome stuff, Emery. As always, please check this man out on social media. He deserves it. At FBall Game Plan on Twitter, Football Game Plan on YouTube. We are, of course, at Ross Tucker NFL, at Ross Tucker Pod. And you can check out the show on YouTube, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. But the key is right now, more than half of you, if you like NFL, your team is not in the playoffs. It's time is now to order Emery's draft guide. It's the best of its kind. Footballgameplan.com/2022draft guide. The keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for listening to the College Draft Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and The Business of Sports. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.
A lot of times on the show, I mention DraftKings. Here's what you need to know. You got to be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9. With it. By the way, if what I was talking about included a deposit bonus, doesn't always, sometimes it does. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough, and deposit bonuses are paid out in site credit.